Faithfulness in Service by Mrs. E. G. White. February 15, 1901. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3, verse 16 to 18. Life is a manifestation of God's love. It is a talent which God has committed to our care, and it is a very costly talent as viewed in the light of the sacrifice of God's Son. It is an expression of the ownership of God. We are his by creation, and doubly his by redemption. We derive life from him. He is the creator and the source of all life. He is the author of the higher life which it desires the beings formed in his image to live. All nature is alive. Through its varied forms of life, it speaks to those who have ears to hear and hearts to understand, of him who is the source of all life. Nature reveals the wonderful working of the master artist. Man is the highest and noblest of all God's creatures. In the beginning, man was made in the image of God. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Genesis 1, verse 26-27. He formed us for his glory, and he desires us in every word and act to acknowledge this. Life is to be regarded as a solemn, sacred trust. Those who have an understanding of their relation to God will carefully study the responsibilities of life, remembering that God desires human beings to place upon themselves the estimate he has placed upon them. Individually, we shall be called to give an account in the judgment for the way in which we have treated the talent purchased for us at so great a cost. No one with reasoning ability will be excused for neglecting to return to God his own. Improve your talents by exercise. Double them by using them in God's service. As you do this, you will reveal to a world sunken in sin a character in accordance with the character of God. Those who do not live the life of Christ here below fail of reaching the mark of the prize of their high calling. God has made every provision to enable us to reach the standard which he has placed before us. Christ died in order that we might be partakers of the divine nature, and thus escape the corruption that is in the world. God wants us to live on the plan of addition outlined in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Constantly, we are to press onward and upward. Our religion is to be progressive. God calls for that which many refuse to give him, the highest, holiest service. He desires us to acknowledge our relationship to him, to realize that we are his. Link your life with his. Live out the high principles which he came to this earth to reveal. Accept the invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29-30. When you accept this gracious invitation, you are sustained by one who has an inexhaustible supply of grace. Remember that you are kept by the power of God. Give yourself to him. You need no one to tell you how to do this. God is drawing you to Himself. Give up your will, your mind, your whole being in submission to Him. He is knocking at the door of your heart, waiting to enter. Will you let Him in? Christ has made every provision that we shall reach the ideal set before us. He left His exalted position in heaven, laying aside His royal robe and kingly crown, and clothing His divinity with humanity, that He might help those in need of help. He became poor that we might come into possession of eternal riches. He says to us, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. These are the terms of discipleship. Christ is our example. "Learn of me," He says. Matthew 11, verse 29. There are stepping stones on which we may safely plant our feet in following Him. But those who enter the service of the world are not following as He leads the way. It is impossible to please God and gain the friendship of the world at the same time. Let us not bind ourselves to the world with the cords of ambition. An ambition to serve God is wholly necessary, but an ambition fed by worldly ideas will bring failure after failure. Christ has never directed us to go to the world for wisdom and success. In Him we live and more and have our being, and to Him we are to go for help.
When a physician promises to do all in his power to have the life of a sufferer, he does so on condition that the patient complies with his directions. And those who engage in the work of God must meet him, not on their ground, but on His ground. They must comply with the conditions on which He proposes to deal with His human agents. They must give cordial assent and willing obedience to His terms. The prodigal was welcomed to his father's house, but in order to enjoy the privileges of a son, he must comply with the conditions of sonship. The gospel testifies that God, in His boundless love for man, assumed humanity in the person of His Son. Christ has made a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He will cooperate freely and willingly with those who will receive Him as their Savior. He is not far from any one of us. He will gladly receive all who will renounce the favor and friendship of the world and make Him their all and in all. He calls upon us to walk in accordance with His word. He says to us, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." John 15, verse 14. Our friendship with Him is measured by His dominion over us. To acknowledge Christ as King, to submit to His authority, to consult His will, to make His law the rule of life our pattern, to obey the stern precepts of His word, to deny self for His glory, to be willing to make any sacrifice for His sake. This is the duty and privilege of a Christian. Christ enjoins His followers to be ready to part with all for His sake. This is contrary to human inclinations, and thus Christ tests His disciples. If He is received at all, it must be as King. If He enters the soul, it must be to reign.